The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. Don't settle for dealership financing when you can apply for a low-rate vehicle loan at DuPage Credit Union. Visit DuPageCU.com. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured. DuPage Credit Union. Banking inspired.
ESPN 1000 remembers Jeff Dickerson. Join us all day for a celebration of our beloved teammate.
Sometimes. Chris Black, Adam Abdallah here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, celebrating the life of Jeff Dickerson. You can donate to the GoFundMe for his son, Parker. It's Parker's Fund. It's on my Twitter account, at Adam A. Abdallah, at Chris Bleck. It's all over the internet right now. Adam Schefter has tweeted out. A bunch of NFL owners have now contributed to it. The Bulls game is about to tip off, Chris, and they have held a moment of silence for JD prior to today's game. So a credible gesture by the Bulls as they start their game here in a few minutes. And also just, you know, you've seen the tributes all over the place, from whether it's from fans or whether it's from coworkers or people that didn't even know him that have just seen the outpouring, from Jeff Dickerson, including, you know, the Bears did have media today. They did, you know, Matt Nagy met the media, some quarterback stuff, but that stuff doesn't matter right now. But Matt Nagy did kick off his press conference today by sharing a message for JD and his family.
I want to start off by giving my thoughts and prayers to Jeff Dickerson's family and his son, Parker. Obviously, it's a tough day for all of us. We know how much Jeff meant to all of us. We all have different stories being, you know, with him. And for me, you know, I was able to have 4 good years being able to learn who he is as a person and get to hear his stories. And when I think about Jeff, I think about, you know, how positive he was, which, you know, we all talk about. He's always glass half full. With me, he was always very supportive and respectful, which, you know, is pretty neat in this day and age to have somebody like that from the very start. And I appreciated that. You know, I think about the good thoughts I have with him, and I think back to this past draft. Him as a prognosticator. I mean, I remember him texting me a couple of days before the draft and talking about all these predictions of who we may draft and may not draft. And he said he's going to go ahead and say that we're going to draft Tevin Jenkins. And it was crazy, you know, that ended up happening. But he didn't care about what anybody else was saying. That's what he predicted. And what do you know? You know, so he never ended up bragging to me about that, which is just kind of who he is. But I think he always knew that I knew. So he's positive. He's a prognosticator. And the last thing is, you know, how proud he was of his son, Parker. You know, I go back to thinking of all the, you know, the stories of the conversations before we'd ever talk football. It was always about, you know, the baseball tournament that he was playing or, you know, the football game. And it's just who he was. So, you know, he's super proud. And I think that's, you know, we know that.
Bears coach Matt Nagy on Jeff Dickerson. Say what you want about Nagy. That's very heartfelt by him and a very nice gesture by him today. And, you know, Nagy has his own sons and his own family as well. So you can, you know, he identifies with it. You can feel what, you know, you can feel that, that he's, yeah, he's a coach and everything like that, but he also is a person and he identifies with what this family is going through right now. And that was a meaningful, you know, that's not just 2 minutes of fluff. That's not just, you know, 10 seconds of a press conference to say, oh, hey, we're sorry. Like that was very heartfelt by Matt Nagy.
Well, it just goes to show you how much that no matter who the person was, if JD crossed paths with them, he made an impact on their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it could be a coach who, you know, think about Matt Nagy's situation. He probably thinks he's out of town soon. He thinks the entire city probably dislikes him. But I'm sure it was a pleasure to see JD every day. Mm-hmm. So those were very nice, thoughtful words from Matt Nagy. And, you know, it's an incredibly sad day for all of us. JD was the best. He always looked out for guys like you and me. So we're forever thankful for that mm-hmm. and for him. And just like being around him throughout the years, he taught us how to be better people, how to do our jobs better. And he was just fun to be around, you know?
Absolutely. We don't normally take requests, but I'm being told in the Twitch chat to play the Darnell Mooney on JD. So I will do that. It's real short here. So just here's what people want to hear. It. Here's Darnell Mooney earlier today at Hallis Hall.
First off, I want to start off by giving my condolences to Mr. Dickerson's family, tragic loss and their family. Also give out my condolences to his son as well. I know they have been, he's been going through a traumatic situation with his mother and his father. So I want to take out the time to give my condolences to him and his family.
Again, a player that JD maybe not have has interacted with as much, but it just shows you what he meant to that locker room and to those players yeah. as well. And, you know, this is a bad segue and a bad pun, but much like, you know, him not dealing with a lot of, like, a lot of us here at the station dealt with JD and dealt with him as a host and as a guest on shows doing Bears reports and as our Bears reporter, and whether he would fill in or host and that kind of stuff. We all dealt with him at some point, and you know, other former producers have reached out as well and just to give their condolences and their thoughts to you and I, Chris, through text and, you know, through DM on Twitter. But we have George Katsourilos, who produced with us for a few years here at the station, produced many a JD show and also had to, you know, put him on as a Bears reporter and whatnot. But George is with us. George, how's it going?
What's up, guys? Yeah, well, you know, it's been a day, to say the least, full of emotion. And I don't know. I just felt like I had to call in because, you know, ESPN 1000 was my first job in radio and one of the first people that I met, aside from Jonathan and Jonathan Hood, you and Chris Black, was JD. And JD was the nicest dude that I've ever met. As a weird, awkward kid coming in on his first job, very just like not knowing anything about the business, JD, anytime I got to produce a JD show or go on remote with JD or, you know, just talk to him, he always asked me how I was doing. Always was wondering what was going on with me. Gave me some great insight into this industry and everything. And it's just like the guy was, it never, no matter what was happening with him, it always seemed like he cared about you and was having a great day. And it's just, to lose someone like that, it's just a huge, huge hole, not in just this industry, but in this world. I mean, he was just a one-of-a-kind type of guy, and just to have this happen was just so sad, man.
George, you know, like, as we kind of talk about it, the one thing that keeps, like, picturing in my head is, like, JD saw the rocky waters coming for us and was like, it'll be okay. And, like, right. was just trying to make things easier for all of us, even if it wasn't necessarily going to happen quickly or it was going to be easy. Like, he saw it already and he wanted us to know, like, it's okay. You guys are going to be okay.
Right. And, like, dude, whenever we'd host a show or produce or whatever, he'd always like in our pre-show meeting be like, we're going to have some fun. Like, it's going to be fun. This isn't work. This is fun. And it's like, that has stuck with me throughout my entire career in this business. And, like, man, it was just, it still seems so surreal. It still seems like, you know, I got to say this. I heard the news, what was going on, like, about a week and a half ago, and, like, I couldn't believe it. And I thought about texting him and telling him, like, what he meant to me in my career. And I haven't talked to the guy in, like, you know, since I left the station. And, you know, I sat there and I went, nah, this might be a little weird. It's weird out of the blue. Okay, whatever. But now in hindsight, man, I'm never going to get the chance. I'm never going to get I didn't take the opportunity. And I guess, like, for me, that was kind of a lesson that, like, you never know. And you got to take the opportunity to do that type of stuff. So that was kind of like one of the lessons, last lessons JD taught me. So
Absolutely. And I think Chris said it when, you know, JD always was like, hey, you know, like, you know, stuff's coming. It might not be great. Like, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. But also, like, George, you don't work in sports radio anymore. Like, you're doing a different, you're doing, you know, a different kind of radio. He was always, and like, we just talked to Ray, and Ray doesn't work in sports radio either anymore. He's a boxing announcer. And he was always like, hey, you guys, you know, like, do what you want to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, with Chris and I, he was like, you guys be prepared, you know, talk about national stuff. Talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. Just be able to do everything. If this is what you want to do, if this is something you want to do something else, then go do something else. Like, encouraging Ray to go do, you know, boxing stuff, encouraging you to go, you know, do other things that aren't sports radio, but still radio. You know what I mean? Like, not, you know, just being like, you know what? Like, this doesn't have to be it. You know what I mean? Like, there are more important things than working in these four walls here.
Right. Right. Man, guys, I just want to say, like, thank you for giving me the couple of minutes I needed to say my piece. So,
yeah, all good, George. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, George.
Man.
Appreciate it, man.
Good to talk to you.
You too, guys.
You know, Abdal, like, I just continue to think about how many people JD helped along the way. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's just something you can never thank him enough for. And I know in the moment, I was absolutely grateful in the times that we had with JD and all those years of learning underneath him. And you hear all the different stories, and he was just so impactful to so many people and so many different groups of friends and so many, different walks of life. And it really is a lesson to all of us, you know, to just, be nice, to enjoy life and go do something you want to do, because, you know, nothing is forever in this world, and you got to take advantage of the time you have.
Absolutely. And we have a bunch of people that want to jump on and give us some stories. Jay and Tom have been hanging for a while. We'll talk to them when we come back right here on ESPN 1000.
As we look back on and celebrate the life of Jeff Dickerson today on ESPN 1000, please consider making a donation at the GoFundMe page for Parker's Fund.
Jay is in Arlington Heights. He wants to talk about Jeff Dickerson as we celebrate the life of JD here on ESPN 1000. Adam Abdal along with Chris Bleck. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you for taking my call. I went to high school and college with Jeff, and this is such a big loss, not only for the whole Chicago family, but for Buffalo Grove and even, like, the University of Illinois. He was such a good dude. So yeah. Welcoming, so accomplished in his own way. But what really stands out to me is some of the things that you guys were hinting on. You know, I would always talk to him about his son, about baseball, and he would always just give me the greatest tips for my daughter and his ability to kind of just be remembered not only out as an awesome journalist, but as a great father. I think it's just so much to him. And I just really appreciate this day and that you guys given all the time. The Bulls thing gave me chills. The owners donating money is amazing. The fact that his GoFundMe is up to where it is. And I just really, really appreciate what you guys did today. I just wanted to say that. Thank you again.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay. You know, Abdal, the one thing that I think needs to be said about the GoFundMe page, and it's incredible how much money has been raised to this point. I'm refreshing it right now. I think I see $563,000. You know, Adam Schefter has spent all day today giving credit to people who are donating and mm-hmm. retweeting the link of the GoFundMe. And Adam Schefter has 9 million Twitter followers.
Yeah.
Like, Adam Schefter doesn't have to do that. And he continues to give props to Jim Irsay or the Schneider family that each gave $25,000 within the last hour to Parker's fund. So I think some, you know, Adam Schefter also donated quite a bit as well. And you can see it on the list. So credit to Adam Schefter for promoting this and getting it out there so many people can help Parker out.
Absolutely. And if you can, $5, $10, whatever,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. You can also go to obviousshirts.com. Joe from Obvious Shirts has put together a run of shirts and sweatshirts that all of the proceeds will go directly to the GoFundMe. So he'll take all the proceeds and put them into it once you know they've gotten a bunch of sales and everything like that. I know a bunch of people have already ordered, so continue to order. They're a pre-order, so I don't think that there's a limit. Sorry, Joe, but I think I might have just said that there's not a limit. Just keep ordering shirts, whatever. We'll figure it out. Tom is in Oak Lawn. What's up, Tom?
What's up, guys? So I didn't know JD personally like you guys. I only knew him through the radio and not just his Honest Bears beats and such whenever he was on, but like I remember listening to him for Dickerson and Hood or like mm-hmm. the times when he would be on Freddie Coleman's show at night and such, and I'd listen and be like, hey, that's JD. I know JD. So and it's so terrible and I can understand as a father myself how I'm sure how his son was everything to him, just like how my son is everything to me. And you know, I can't donate $1,000 or anything like that or 25 like Jim Irsay, but I bought two shirts. And one for me and one for my son. And we're going to wear those shirts and we're going to represent JD that way. And George McCaskey better come out and say, whatever the total is at this certain time, we're going to match it because that's the least they can do. So to help Parker out for Parker.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Good stuff, Tom.
Have a good night.
Thanks for always calling. Thanks for always listening to the show.
Absolutely. Abdallah,
you know, like it's that's what it's about is give what you can.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it is just buying a shirt, it's all going to go to Parker. So it's good to see so many people trying to help out.
Mm-hmm. If you like baseball coverage, you probably know Sahadev Sharma. But Sahadev started out producing here. He was an intern here and then he produced here. For a while, he produced many a JD show with you and I. It seems like we're getting all the young guns back together tonight for a very, very good cause. And we go to Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic. Sahadev, how's it going, man?
It's going well. There's been better days, but I want to thank you guys for letting me call in and just talk about JD. Unfortunately, I didn't stay in contact with him the last few years. When I got the news yesterday, I immediately looked the last time we chatted, and it was condolences for him losing his wife. And I kept looking through the messages, and what stood out to me was, as I was coming up through the business and struggling, like, you know how it is, guys. You know how when things aren't clicking and you're wondering why you're putting in all this work and effort, when you're going to get that full-time job, when you're going to get that break, it was April of 2014 when JD out of the blue reaches out. This is about 2-3 months before I got my first full-time job, before it finally started going right. And he just out of the blue complimented my work, saying how happy he was to see my byline on various pages. And I kind of said, hey man, thanks. I appreciate that. I wish it was, wish that full-time job was coming. And his words were just, it will come. I see the talent. I see the work. It'll happen. Don't worry. And then he immediately switched to how's the family? How's life? And both those things just really stood out to me. And I spent most of today reaching out to people at ESPN and making sure I let people know, hey, you've done great, or thank you for what you did for me. Because I should have said that to JD, because he did. He just those words. They do a lot for us. They make sure that we keep going, that, hey, this isn't for nothing. Putting in all this work and people are noticing, and that matters. And, I wish I would have reached out for, if nothing else, I hear about his son Parker all the time now, and I watch my son work his butt off at baseball, and we literally were outside today playing and, in the cold weather, because all he wants to do is practice and get better. And I would have loved to hear the stories about Parker straight from JD, because it sounds like he was really proud of his son, which after this summer, you get to finally playing sports again with the kids post-pandemic, seeing them play.
I kind of started to appreciate all the dad stuff. And I think people in the Wrigley press box probably got sick of me talking about my son and how proud I am of him. But those are the types of conversations I wish I would have had with JD.
Yeah, Zahav, that's fantastic perspective. And we were texting earlier today, and you know, some of the time that the three of us spent with JD was prepping for shows or just sitting around ESPN 1000 waiting for shows, because we kind of talked about this about an hour ago, is that the nighttime programming on ESPN 1000, you know, 10 years ago was the evening shows didn't start until 7:30 at night, 8 o'clock at night. And we rolled all the way till 11, sometimes midnight.
Right.
So like the three of us and Jonathan Hood and Jeff Dickerson, we spent a lot of time together at the station doing nothing. I mean, we were prepping for shows, but like at a certain point, you can only prep so much. And then we were just like sitting around waiting for the guys to go on the air. And what are some of the things that you remember from that time, from being around JD in the time that we were producing shows for he and Jonathan?
Well, I texted someone this earlier today. I don't think I realized at the time or appreciated at the time like how that was preparing me for what I do now, right? I spend a lot of time debating or talking about baseball, right? I have to make my case. I have to really think through things and present things in a well thought out manner. And all that was talking, whether it was with Fred or Hoodie or JD, like all that stuff prepared me for now, right? I'm able to do my job better because they forced me and challenged me. JD was right there among them, pushing us and making sure that, you know, we didn't just say something and you had to back it up. You had to have thought it out. And if you didn't, they made sure to let you know, like that doesn't make sense. And here's why, or you better be able to back that up because I don't see the logic behind it. And I think that's the type of stuff at the time, you know, you may not appreciate it. You may not realize like why that's important, but if you're really going to do this and do it well, that's, you know, sharpening your skills. It's starting from the bottom and making sure that everyone challenges you and you're, you know, they saw us as equals, and they saw us as people that had a chance to do more than, you know, just sit behind the scenes or be an intern or whatever it was. And those moments of challenging us, I think, were preparing us for these times now.
You gotta, so could also sit in the newsroom and bitch about the Illini. That's how the show started, too.
that happened plenty, yes.
So, Hanif, thanks for calling in, man. We really appreciate it.
Good to talk to you,
Zahav. I'm really proud of you guys, too. It's great to see your success, and I listen as often as I can, and happy to have worked with you and worked our way up. It's great to listen to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Zahav. Appreciate it. Zahav, you can read Zahav at The Athletic. Covers baseball for them. Like I said, there's a bunch of good coverage right now that is not behind a paywall that talking about JD. Huh.
I worked talking baseball with Zahav for a number of years,
just like you did.
And the columns that you get on The Athletic now, Zahav was giving to our callers
when they
were calling into talking baseball, trying to get on the air with Bruce Levine. Zahav was giving them full columns in the producer booth. He was just in the wrong spot. He just needed to go right.
I remember saying to Zahav, just put them on, man. You don't need to try to change their minds. Like, they're going to, like, Bruce is going to yell at them. JD's going to yell at them. You don't need to try to change their mind before you put them on the air.
It's so great to see Zahav doing that now, because he always had the better baseball thoughts than all of us. It's fantastic.
Well, he
to
liked
see.
It.
Well, yeah. You're gonna upset Bruce.
I'm not gonna upset Bruce. Bruce is already upset at me for some reason. Bruce doesn't think I should be here. I didn't think I would be here is what I mean. Didn't think I would be here.
The last time we saw Bruce, he walked right up. He goes, I can't believe you're still doing this.
Me either, Bruce. Me either. We referenced the Illini with Zahav. You didn't work Loyola games with JD, but you did a lot of work with JD covering UIC while he was broadcasting games for Loyola. I'm sure you've got some short stories you want to share with us when we come right back. Okay,
sure.
All right, we'll be right back. 312-332-3776. We got a couple more callers on the line that want to share their stories as well. We'll continue to do that. It's Black and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000.
As we look back on and celebrate the life of Jeff Dickerson today on ESPN 1000, please consider making a donation at the GoFundMe page for Parker's Fund.
Refreshing that GoFundMe page. It's under Parker's Fund. You can find it on my Twitter account at Adam A. Abdallah, and also on Chris's at Chris Bleck. It's Bleck and Abdallah here on ESPN 1000. And we're up to $570,000 right now. If you can spare $5, $10, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Any amount helps Parker out. You can also get a shirt from Obvious Shirts. I've said Joe is printing as many as the it's an unlimited amount of shirts and sweatshirts.
Sure.
That's fine. Until he tells me to stop doing that, which I'm not going to stop doing that. But all of the proceeds from the shirts and sweatshirts will go to the GoFundMe as well. And it's just been amazing. From last night around this time when I looked, it was right at around $25,000. And to think that there's been over $550,000 raised since then in about 24 hours is crazy. I know this was set up a few days ago as the news of JD's condition began to get worse. And so now people are just donating left and right. And you mentioned Adam Schefter tweeting about it, and a bunch of NFL owners have now donated a bunch. There's footage going around Twitter, too, of the moment of silence that the Bulls had before the game tonight, before their game against Atlanta, which is a huge gesture by them. I'm sure the Bears will be doing a bunch this weekend as well, as it is a home game against the Giants on Sunday. I'm sure they'll have a tribute as well. But you worked with JD in college basketball. You broadcast games for UIC, and JD broadcast games for Loyola. They talked to Porter Moser earlier today, and he gave some of his great thoughts about Jeff Dickerson as well. And Porter's a great guy, and JD's a great guy. You knew that they got along extremely well. Just from the tone of Porter's voice, you can get that interview and all the great interviews. There's been, I couldn't even name the amount of people. Eric Ostrowski was producing earlier today, and he had a list going of the amount of people that the station has had on today, just giving their thoughts and how much JD meant to them. And there's just so many people that I would forget people, even if I had the list in front of me, if just from the people that haven't worked here in years that have been calling in. And I've got people that from, you and I worked at the Illinois Media School, and people that, you know, reached out to him from there that were working on shows and that wanted to be reporters and everything. And he was always so generous with his time. So I know you've got stories from working those games with JD as well.
Yeah, and you know, I was just scrolling through the GoFundMe and Parker's Fund, and there the eye-popping donations at the top of the board from the Indianapolis Colts and from the Washington football team are incredible. If you scroll down a little bit more, Jed Hoyer, Theo Epstein, you see some famous names on this list, including Loyola's men's basketball team. They just donated 2 minutes ago, Abdallah. And it's fitting that I wanted to talk about this. You know, Jeff Dickerson did, he called basketball games for Loyola on TV with Jordan Bernfield. And they were a fantastic duo together. I heard Jordan on earlier today with Fred, and he sounded great. And he actually just texted me, too. So shout out to Jordan. And what's incredible about JD calling these Loyola games is there's a couple of things here, because I work with Jonathan Hood calling the UIC Flames games on TV. So we're both doing like the same exact job, just for different teams. Last year, JD saw that Loyola had a road game at UIC, which would mean that JD and Jordan would not be calling that Loyola game, but Jonathan and me would be calling it because we're the UIC broadcasters. JD reached out to me ahead of time to find out if I wanted scouting reports on all the Loyola players. And so, you know, he and I had a long text exchange, and we talked about it, and he gave me all the information he had. And he was the one looking out for me for a game that I had coming up in a couple of weeks that was Loyola and UIC. So, like, that's just the type of person that JD is. You know, he was looking out for me once again. The other thing that I would point to with Loyola basketball and JD's work around that program, and you mentioned that Porter Moser was on the station earlier today. It was a fantastic interview. Check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. Like, JD knew that Porter was really good immediately. And he would tell all of us that Loyola has something special and they have this coach who's really good. He's not going to be there forever because he's too good, right? And he wouldn't say that he was too good for Loyola. He was just, he saw the talent that Porter had. And Adam, this is, I'm talking way before they made their Final Four run. And it's just because JD knew that Porter had something special. And then we know that the Loyola Ramblers made a run to the Final Four and that Porter Moser became one of the hot coaching names in all of college basketball. Now he's the head coach at Oklahoma. But it was JD and his relationship with Porter that I thought was just so special. You know, I mentioned earlier, I got a chance to go to the Final Four with JD and Jonathan Hood in 2015. The Final Four was in Indianapolis. And I was producing the show, but someone that JD needed to make sure got onto the show while we were down there in Indy was Porter Moser. He wanted to make sure that Porter got on the show and that Porter was going to be able to break down the teams hanging to the Final Four. And JD just sold me and Jonathan that this guy's good, he knows his stuff, and we're going to have him on. And so JD introduces me to Porter, and Porter's always been great to me because I think of the introduction that JD gave for me to Porter. The following year, JD and I went to Houston for the Final Four. It was just the two of us. And the station allowed me to host with JD doing all these shows from the Final Four. And if you remember, the Final Four in 2016 wasn't really that hot of a Final Four. It was like Villanova, Oklahoma, with Buddy Hield. Mm-hmm. Syracuse was there, but Syracuse was like a low seed that got to the Final Four. So, like, it wasn't the traditional power that they usually were. And I think North Carolina was the other team that was there. And we talked mainly about the Bulls the entire time we were down there. And JD made sure that Porter came by. And then he was like, no, Porter's great. Porter's going to just talk ball with us. So we spent 20 minutes talking about Fred Hoiberg and his system in the NBA. And, like, Porter broke it all down. He was fantastic. And JD knew that Porter would be great. Mm-hmm. And JD was the connector between all of us in these great shows. And it's just, those are memories I'm always going to have because when it came to college basketball, he's known as a football guy, but he outworked everyone and he made sure those around him were set up for success who were trying to do the same thing that he was doing.
Well, that's what I feel like he always imparted to us was the, like, be able to do other things because this is a business where, you know, like when we first started out, there wasn't an ESPNChicago.com. There wasn't The Athletic. There wasn't, like, it was ESPN.com and us, and, like, that was it. And there was no Twitter. There was no Instagram. But it was like, you need to know how to do other things because they might ask you to go on TV one day. They might ask you to go on, you know, Chicago Tribune Live or whatever, and whatever it was called, you know, back in the day, back then. They might ask you to go on this stuff, and you need to be ready. They might ask you to you know, to call a college basketball game, and you have to be ready. And, you know, he extended that generosity by offering you, you know, do you need scouting reports? Like, that kind of thing. Like, he was always willing to just impart any form of information. And then, you know, the same thing for him. Like, if I had something, you know, for him on the Bears, I'd be like, hey, I heard this. Can you dig this up? Like, I'll never forget calling him when I woke him up one morning when there was someone got in trouble from the Bears. Someone did something that they shouldn't have at night from the Bears. And he was like, all right, let me work this story. Don't go with it yet. And this is like before, like I was like, someone called in because there wasn't Twitter. It was like someone called in and they said this and it was like, hey, should we go? He's like, let me check. Hold on. And he called back a couple minutes later and he was like, yep, that you can go with it. I'll go with it. Put me on. And like we went, but he was like, don't be, you know, don't be first. Be right. You know, don't just go off of whatever. Don't get got. Like the don't get got was the just don't be first. You got to be right with stuff. And if you're not, your credibility gets knocked down. And that's something he instilled in us as well.
I mean, it's just maybe this is really inside radio, but like just little tricks of the trade that he taught me that I'll always keep. And you and I have had the ability to go to a Final Four as well. But like as we're sitting there for the Final Four, we're at a desk. And what happens is there's, 30, 40 other radio stations from around the country all in the same room. And they bring through people who basically talk to every single station that is willing to talk to them.
Yeah.
Either coaches, former basketball players, all this stuff. And JD, when I was with him, he showed me like something as simple as when you say yes, write down the name that you say yes to. So then you don't forget and you're in the middle of a conversation and you have to think on the top of your head, who am I talking to, right? Because some of these coaches are like the Temple head coach, right? Like someone you probably have never thought about before. And JD would always write it down on his yellow pad in like big block letters. Mm-hmm. So it was just always there in front of him. In case you forgot, you could just look down. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're talking to Aaron McKee, the former player from the 76ers who's now the Temple head coach. You know, like just little things like that that I feel as if we were thrown into the wild by ourselves. Like, I don't know if you'd pick up on, but like JD had all those little tricks down and was willing to share them with us as well.
I have two very less serious stories than that.
All right, good. I got one too.
So JD obviously lost his wife 2 years ago, Caitlin, and nobody loved, like he loved Caitlin so much. I remember one night we were in the newsroom and he had ordered because he was trying, everybody, you know, he's trying to get in wedding shape, right? So you're trying to lose weight. And he ordered these microwave meals that were so disgusting. And he was like, I was like, hey, where are we getting dinner tonight? And because like we'd walk to Chipotle, Chipotle's not close, but it's not far. But he was like, let's get Chipotle tonight. Let's do Qdoba. Let's do this. Let's go to Panda Express. Like, he wanted to make it like a thing. Like we've kind of harped on that a little bit in the last 2 hours. Like JD liked to eat. He liked to have a good dinner. And so before the show, whether you were burping it up during the 2 hours or not. And so he was like, I got to eat these stupid meals, man. I got to lose like 15 pounds before the wedding. Microwaves it, comes back into the newsroom, eats it, throws the empty thing away. I go, what was that? He goes, that's the worst blank I've ever eaten in my life. Let's go to Chipotle right now. And then the other one is, I don't know if people know this about JD, but nobody loves early 2000s hip hop more than JD. Like we had that whole, like, remember Mike Jones? We had that Mike. Remember Mike Hass from the Bears? We had a Mike Hass song to the Mike Jones song. And then while he was getting prepared for his wedding, I was, you know, just making conversation about the wedding. I was like, hey, do you guys have like anything fun planned or any good like music or anything? Cause like, are you getting your music in? And he was like, I'm going to walk out to Fireman by Lil Wayne. And I was like, you are? He's like, yeah, man, I'm going to walk out. They're going to introduce us and it's going to be, I'm going to walk out and you're going to hear the sirens and people are going to know that JD is walking out to Fireman by Lil Wayne. I go to the wedding. JD walks out. There is no Fireman. There is no sirens. I see him afterwards. You know, they're making the rounds after they get married and everything. And I'm like, what happened to Fireman? He goes, Fireman got vetoed at the last minute. We couldn't do Fireman. I couldn't argue that. I couldn't pull Fireman. Sorry, guys. And I was just like, yeah, see, you got a cave. It's fine. I get it. He's like, remember that. You got a cave. I'm like, all right, I will remember that. I will cave.
Well, you know, and JD always wanted to have fun. And I mentioned the trip to the Final Four in Houston. And he and I were there for like 4 days together. And he had every element of the trip planned out. So much, even the fun at night. So like at the Final Four, they put on these concerts for, you know, the host city. And the concert that that they had while we were there was Pitbull with Flo Rida as the opener. And like, so like, okay, the news breaks yesterday and I'm listening to the station. I'm just consuming everything on the station and just seeing all the tributes on Twitter. And I'm like, I don't know what I can put in one tweet that encapsulates what JD means to me and how he was to me, and how important he is, to us. And so like, I'm thinking like, okay, I'm going to put out a tweet about something that I'm going to smile at. And it always makes me laugh thinking about it. And it was the fact that JD dragged me to this Pitbull concert and it was in this like plaza and it was like in the middle of the afternoon and Pitbull was going nuts. And JD was so pumped. And you know me, like I don't really drink beer much. And so we get to the concert and JD goes up and he buys two beers that are bigger than the size of my head. And he has one, he hands me the other. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting because I don't really drink beer. I drink vodka, I drink, you know, whiskey, you know, I do cocktails, that type of thing. He houses his beer like in a song and a half. Like, Pitbull has said Dale like once, and the beer's gone. And I look over, and JD is like, all right, you want more? And I'm like, and he walks away, and he buys two more. And so now I'm double fisting these huge stadium cups, and JD is just so happy. Pitbull's playing, Flo Rida already played. We got hammered that night. Hammered. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, we went to a couple of different bars and just, I'm always going to remember that, like, I wasn't really up for going to seeing Pitbull and like doing that thing. And like JD made me go and he had a great time. And it was just a fantastic memory I have from being able to spend some time with him. And I just remember the look he gave me when I was like 3/4 of the way through a beer. And he was already ready for the next one. And I was like, JD, I don't drink beer like you. Like, I wasn't in a college frat. Like, I can't hang like you.
I was going to say, you've been to his bachelor party. You should have known what you were getting into when yeah, you go to a Pitbull concert with still, beer.
It was great, though.
312-332-3776. We've got a couple more callers that we're going to try to fit in before we're out of here at 8 o'clock. That's next on ESPN 1000. This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host Prairie View A&M on Thursday at 4 p.m. at Welsh Ryan Arena. One kid gets in free with each paid adult. Buy tickets now at nusports.com.
ESPN 1000 remembers Jeff Dickerson. Join us all day for a celebration of our beloved teammate.
Thank you to everyone who called, who tweeted, who participated in the Twitch chat today. All the great guests that were on with all of the shows. Thank you to all the hosts that jumped on kind of last minute here to put this together. Danny Zetterman for putting it all together as well as Randy Merkin. Thank you to everybody for donating to the GoFundMe. Keep donating. If you know someone that likes the Bears, send this to them as well. You know, every dollar counts. As we wrap this up here, we've got one more. Dean is downtown. What's up, Dean?
Dean.
Hey, fellas. Shout out to Shefty for really using his social media platform. I can't help but think that as great as JD was and as many people loved him, I'm sure that really helped the cause. When I saw $100,000 when I woke up this morning, I was very excited. I said, this is going to be great. Let's go for 200. And this is great that we're almost at 600,000 right now. So shout out to everyone. And I already got my shirt. And I just wanted to say that it's evident that JD was a great guy and a professional. But I can't get over to me. It's an he's a hero and an inspiration. Like Sylvie says, I can't imagine what it's like to go through something like that and the courage and the selflessness that it takes. That he took to protect his son. And I know that you guys know your listeners. We know your families. You guys are going to have kids. One day I'll know them. Like I know Gio and Avery and Brett and Sylvie's kids say hi to me at my gym. So we are like a big family and it affected us all. So I hope that if I am ever faced with that kind of adversity, that I have even a fraction of the resolve and the courage that JD showed up until the very end. So thanks for taking my calls, guys. Rest in peace to our brother JD.
Thanks, Dean. Appreciate the call, man. Have a good night.
Good call, Dean.
Thank you to Sean for producing the show tonight. We're about to join the Cheez-It Bowl, already in progress, followed by the Alamo Bowl. But, you know, Chris, it's, you know, we're coming up to the new year here, the end of the holiday season and whatnot. Just call people. Text them. If you've got grudges with people, it's stupid. Like, it does, like, just... If this has shown me anything, it's to be in contact with more people that I'm not in contact with, that yeah. I should be. That, you know, you let laughs. It's not because, like, we've got grudges or we've got beef or anything like that, but you just let some friendships, you know, fall by the wayside once you haven't seen them for a while. And I think the pandemic has kind of stretched that a little bit further because, you know, we're not used to seeing as little of people as we have been in the past. But, you know, call someone you haven't called in a while and or text them out of the blue and just say hi to them and see how they're doing. Because you never know what people are going through. A lot of people didn't know what JD was going through. And it was a shock to us all. And just, you know, we all need to be better about keeping in contact and being with people.
Yeah, well said. And it certainly is. That's good advice because sometimes you think, you know, oh, maybe that person's too busy or maybe this, that, and the other, but really, if they care, they'll make time, and it's definitely worth your effort to let someone know how you feel about them.
Absolutely. So check out the GoFundMe. It is on my Twitter account. Adam A. Abdallah is on Chris Bleck's Twitter account. It's on the ESPN 1000 Twitter account. Get a shirt from obviousshirts.com. They've got all the proceeds are going to go to Parker's Fund. Thank you again for everybody for listening, for calling, for tweeting. Check out all of the great interviews on the ESPN Chicago app. I'll be back tomorrow with Jeff Meller, where we will continue to remember JD and also try to get back to some sense of normal sports talk as well, but we will always keep JD, Caitlin, and especially Parker in our thoughts and in our prayers. Thank you once again for listening to ESPN 1000.